So I would love to welcome everyone to this weekly webinar program of Citizens Climate Lobbies. It's a program that provides training and up-to-date resources for you and I with access to opportunities for you to engage on climate change. We're going to focus tonight on CCL's Climate Conversations campaign for Earth Month, and I'll be your host, Brett Cease. For such a big challenge, we don't talk much about climate change. All that silence means that climate change can feel less important at times to pay attention to than it really is. After all, if we're not talking about it, how big can the problem really be? For Earth Month, though, we're going to flip the script, and CCL volunteers across the country are going to have climate conversations focusing on their family, friends, communities, passerbys on the bus, their Uber driver, you name it. Our goal is 25,000 conversations to have a ripple effect, leading to more conversations in our communities and with our elected leaders. We're also going to hear from Dr. Catherine Hayhoe tonight about her best tips for having successful conversations around climate change, learn more about how you can participate in the campaign, as well as start logging your conversations, which I'm guessing a lot of you have already been doing, and highlighting some of the resources that are available from Science Moms and Potential Energy, as well as the amazing work that our marketing team has done to put them together for us. So thanks for joining us for the big launch for our Earth Month campaign. For those just tuning in, I'll put one last link where you can follow along with our slides, again, highlighted here, and the campaign page. With that, I would love to introduce my co-speaker tonight. We're going to be hearing directly from CCL's Vice President of Marketing and Communications, Leslie Beatty. I'll also be presenting with you tonight, and we're doing this in partnership with Potential Energy and Science Moms. So know that this is a deep bench of many resources that we've been pulling together from, and we're really excited to put it all together for our campaign for Earth Month. If we've done our job well, we're going to walk away with the following three learning goals. We're going to help review the research and resources that are being provided for you to set up for success in your climate conversations. We're going to highlight some key elements of how you can think about having good conversations in your own communities, making sure to empower the people that you talk to. And we're also going to take action and review how you can help us achieve our goal of 25,000 climate conversations working together. So our agenda is pretty straightforward. We're going to start with providing a little bit of background. We're going to talk about how this campaign works. We're going to talk about what is included in the resources and the deck that you have provided to you. We're going to give you a guide. And the hint here, again, to remember three key H words, heart, head, hands, how that all gets put together. We'll show you even a little role play, and then we'll have ample time for Q&A discussion. But before anything else, what I would like to do is set up this campaign, actually, with a personal invite and welcome from none other than one of CCL's longest and most important friendships. I'm going to pass it to Dr. Hayhoe to take it from here to share a little bit more about her thoughts on this campaign.
Hi, CCL. My name is Catherine Hayhoe. I am one of your science advisors, and I am so happy to be able to speak with you again because I heard something phenomenal. I heard that during the month of April, Earth Month, so to speak, you have set a goal to have 25,000 conversations about climate change. And I know you can do it. Why? Because it's been done before. Last year, I was invited to speak at Brigham Young University. Now, some of you may know that for many years, I lived in Lubbock, Texas, which is the second most conservative city in the country, and Provo, Utah is the number one most conservative city in the country. And the students at BYU said, well, if she's coming to tell us to talk about climate change, why don't we see how many conversations we can have before she came? So in September, I was coming in November, they set out to have climate conversations and they ended up having over 25,000 of them. But they did it in 3 months. And I am very sure that you can do it in 1 month. Why? Because you already know how to have these conversations. Begin with something that you have in common with people, something they already care about. Connect the dots to how what you both care about means that you care about climate change too, whether it's your children or gardening or the place that you live or a healthy economy. And then always bring in positive, constructive solutions. And that is what CCL majors in. Not only putting a price on carbon, which we all know is absolutely essential to reducing our carbon emissions within our economy, but also the changes that each of us can advocate for in our personal lives, in the cities and neighborhoods and organizations that we're part of, the places where we work or we study or we worship, all of us can catalyze change by doing one simple thing, having a conversation that connects what we know in our head to why we care in our heart to what we can do with our hands. So as April begins, I want to track, I want to hear about, I want to know how many of these conversations you're having that connects our head to our heart and our heart to our hands to show people that who they already are is the perfect person to care about climate change.
I love that. That is such a perfect, simple, distilled message for all of us to learn from tonight. So thank you so much, Dr. Hale, for that wisdom. And you'll be hearing again about that heart, head, and hands mantra in just a little bit. So let's do a little bit more of an overview about why we are talking about climate change for our goal for Earth Month. We are going to change the world with our conversations and break the silence on climate change and drive action to help us reach our goal of 25,000 conversations this month. And we're going to be doing it by talking to not only our friends and our family that we know and love and care about, but our acquaintances, people that we meet with, and also the tabling opportunities. Last year, we had over 800 tabling outreach opportunities across the country, and each one of those is primed to have dozens of conversations with members of the public and community that you're going to be interacting with. The other thing that we know is this: why talking about it matters is because basically we use the reactions of people around us to gauge the importance of non-immediate threats. We understand immediate threats very well. If our house is on fire, we've evolved to get out of danger. But for non-immediate threats, we have trouble calibrating the urgency of it. And hearing that other people around us are worried about something is an important part, an indicator, if you will, of what tells us what's urgent. So simply hearing that other people in your community and having your neighbors hear from you about why you're concerned about climate change is going to have a direct impact on the personal level with that person to feel more clarity around the conversation. It has an impact because that's how we're wired as humans. So the first thing that we want to do is take the pressure off of what we have to be in order to have perfect conversations and realize that anything that we can bring in that's right in front of our eyes is an important and simple fact that we're having conversations about it. You don't have to get it perfect to feel like you're having an impact. Another thing that we have highlighted in prior trainings is something called the spiral of climate silence. Now, there's a great link that I'll put in the chat if you'd like to know a little bit more about this phenomenon. But basically, this graphic, which is also available as part of our campaign materials, tells the powerful cycle of what's termed the spiral of climate silence. You can see that it also holds us back from working on solutions. As climate change worsens around us, we have people that really still feel like in their own lives and community, no one's talking about it. So they assume that, well, it can't be as bad then as maybe I hear the news or other people tell me they think. So they also, in turn, aren't talking about it, which in turn doesn't drive a lot of attention or a sense of importance to prioritizing it, which in turn means that we aren't taking the actions we need to address climate change and it continues to accelerate. So together, we're going to break that spiral of climate silence this month, and we're going to do it in Earth Month because this is the month that the public outside of us, the concerned, is tuned into to know to check in on how the Earth is doing. That's what Earth Month is for. The public is more attuned to what is happening with climate change than they are any other time of year. We want to take advantage of that. And right on time, this is a great new messaging guidance that we also have that we'll review tonight about what Potential Energy has done to give us more messages that they've tested out when speaking and engaging with the public who might be especially in that more passively worried camp, not in the more directly engaged camp that all of us are on tonight by joining a live webinar on Thursday evening, and who haven't yet connected on that urgency to do something. We also are perfectly primed as CCL volunteers to have these conversations. Why? Because we've been practicing for years already. We know the art and the element of what makes a good conversation, from practicing reflective listening, hearing back what we're hearing in the people that we're talking with, making sure to slow down and ask open-ended questions to elicit more of a response and understand where they're coming from, and to practice affirmations, affirming and uplifting what we're hearing, and finding ways to connect on that with the shared values that we have with people. So we're going to put all of that into practice, and we know that all of you have already put that into practice in your lives tonight. And so that's really where we're at, and now we're going to go to how this all works and fits together. So firstly, what I want to do is just review the three simple steps for you and your team to feel like you're engaged for our Earth Month campaign. One, two, three. Talk about it, report your conversations, and give us feedback. Number one, your challenge is to have as many conversations as you're able to for Earth Month, using the messaging guidance from our partners and what we'll review tonight, or putting it into your own words and finding out what works for you and your communities. Number two, recording those conversations, making sure that we are tracking your actions so we can show our collective impact. What counts? A simple way of thinking about what we think of as a conversation is that of a two-way interaction. So if you're giving a presentation to, say, let's say 100 people, but it's all one way, it's you being the conduit of information to all of them and there's no interaction, that's one conversation. But if you have four one-on-one conversations, or let's say a presentation to four people, and they're all engaging and asking questions and you're having dialogue and there's two-way interaction, that would count in our minds as four separate conversations. We can talk more about this during Q&A if you need more distinction, but that's what we wanted to highlight. Then number three, giving feedback. Tell us what's working and what's not working for you in your conversations. We're going to use the feedback to adjust our materials going forward, and you'll see in just a little bit, we're going to review our main campaign page, cclusa.org/conversations, where after you log your conversation, you'll have the chance to provide direct feedback and a link directly to the Google form. So what I'm going to do next is actually just do a quick demo for 1 minute on this campaign page. The great thing is that it's mobile friendly. Here I'm showing the desktop version. The other great thing is that it's available for anyone. It's publicly visible, even if you're not a member of CCL. Our amazing IT team has designed this so that you're seeing right now, I'm logged in under Brett, and the easy way to log my conversation is simply clicking this button after designating how many conversations I've had. But if you're not logged in, you can still provide your email and your name and the number of conversations and log that conversation too. So let me just show you how easy it is. Right now we're at 559, already over 2% of the way through our goal. If I click that button, look at that. Boom, I've already logged my conversation without having to do any more fancy clicks through our action tracker. It is also available on the action tracker, but I won't demo that here tonight. And you'll see immediately what you can see is you're provided a link to the feedback survey to provide more thoughts on how your conversation went. Below that log action is a bit more detail about why this conversation and campaign matters. We have an amazing video from our own education resilience coordinator, Tamara Staton, and a quote from Dr. Hayhoe. And then we have a little review again of those three steps that Dr. Hayhoe reviewed that we'll talk through in just a bit. Start with the heart, then transition to the head, and land on what you can do with your own hands to engage on solutions. We have additional resources to support that Leslie is going to review in just a little bit from both the amazing partners we have with Potential Energy and Science Moms, as well as the amazing resources that CCL provides. And then some great, very high level messaging guidance on what to say with try saying this instead of that. And then lastly, a great acknowledgement from our partners. And just a quick little review, if you clicked on that link to our climate conversational materials, you'll see that we have a very helpful handout that you can print out for your tabling events that just gives you the high-level overview reminder of how to employ the heart, head, and hands in your actual conversations, some helpful little reminder tips, and a QR code and link where you can log your conversation. We have a trifold display as well for you to be able to highlight all of the different ways to engage using messaging from our partners that you'll hear about more in just a little bit. And then below that, we also have a helpful little overview graphic to invite people to find out more about the campaign and that Spiral of Silence graphic, as well as a link to all of the stickers that we have. Transition to talking through what's actually included. And in order to do that, what we'll actually focus on next is talking through the new guidance from our partners. So we've been really excited to partner with Potential Energy and Science Moms on this campaign. There's two organizations whose leaders are in the space of climate communication. Dr. Hayhoe is actually on the advisory board for Science Moms as well. And in particular, the kind of communication that happens between regular people at dinner or when friends bump into each other or chance encounters with virtual strangers like your Uber driver. We're regular people and we have these conversations all the time. So this is why this guidance is so relevant and helpful for us. What you'll see again is what I've just highlighted. We've developed that guidance to develop two resources that are specific to your engagement with tabling and outreach, a new branded trifold display and one cheater to support volunteers in their climate conversations. So let's talk through each. First, we've got the one cheater. The graphics at the top of this one pager give a quick reminder at a glance of the steps that Dr. Hayhoe just reminded us in her video. She's asking us to connect why we care in our heart with what we know in our head, with what we can do with our hands. Below the graphics are some great examples of what someone might say at each step. Potential Energy has found that globally, the sentiment of protect the planet for future generations resonates more broadly than any other sentiment, including across political divides in the United States. So the suggested conversation opener is to share your concern about future generations and ask how your conversation partner feels. Then you can include impacts that you're seeing in your own local community or a fact, such as highlighting that the world right now is heating up to 50 times faster than it has at any time in history. Finally, we want to integrate solutions and not leave people hanging, feeling in that doom and gloom spiral, but realizing that they can be engaged in putting solutions to work in their own lives. And so we emphasize that our own elected officials hold the key to solutions, and we need them to speak up and get them to act. At the bottom of the one pager are also some really helpful tips and a reminder on how to log your conversation. We also have this great tabling trifold that we put together. It basically has three panels. The first panel is highlighting in the clear and concise way the urgency of the problem that we face. It begins by saying 2023 was the hottest year on record, and there's a good chance that 2024 will beat it. Below that is an inspirational quote from Dr. Hayhoe, and then it briefly describes four of the climate impacts that we're witnessing in our communities around the country. We then have in the middle panel a chance to focus on encouraging people to get involved with CCL, and you can also choose to print out your own photos locally to replace the ones that we've provided in this handout. That last panel is also built on the messaging guidance from our partners that really frames the problem of carbon pollution and highlights clean energy as a solution, but not in a way that describes it as an upgrade, but in a way actually that describes it as an upgrade rather than focusing on it from a scarcity-based model. Lastly, what I'd also like to highlight, these are, I think, proving to be the most popular resource so far, is stickers. If you want to hand these out at your table or engage with any of your other conversations, you can check these out. We've got them live on our Zazzle store. We also have them available as downloaded ping files, so you can print them out at your own favorite sticker place. You name it, we think you're going to love them. Big shout out to marketing for putting together some of these great engaging images. And you might be asking, well, you know, what does this look like on social? How can we amplify and bring other people in our communities, especially online, into this campaign? What we want to recommend are three areas. Number one, share our own social media posts. CCL's already been engaging across our platforms, and especially using this tag, talk about climate, hashtag talk about climate. We also want to encourage you to share your photos from any of the conversations you're having, with permission, obviously, with your conversational partner or with your tabling event in action. And again, using that hashtag, talk about climate. And then lastly, we have a big series leading up to Earth Day, April 22nd, with posts that are going to be sharing our progress and updating the larger community. So be sure in your sharing to make those posts or send them to marketing@citizensclimate.org by and actually well ahead of April 22nd, ideally, so that we can make sure to share you and your team in action. So again, talk about climate, share CCL's social posts, and use that hashtag for your own sharing as well. So what we're going to do now is actually, I'm going to pass it to Leslie, and we're going to start by providing you a little bit more about our synthesis guide to our April Earth Month climate conversations. And again, a little hint, remember, if you have one thing to walk away from tonight, it's all about your heart, head, and hands.
Thanks, Brett. So let's talk a little bit about why we selected Potential Energy and Science Moms as our partner for this important April activity. We are using the Talk Like a Human guide from Potential Energy. This is a new messaging guide that they have just released this year. If you have 20 minutes, maybe 15 minutes to read it, I highly suggest that you read it in its entirety. It's really good. The reasons we like it are that, number one, it's robust. So this is a global study. It has been running for years. It spans billions of impressions, hundreds of different messages tested, hundreds of surveys, and thousands of hours of focus groups. Of testing messages around climate change. And this, the depth of this research is something that we could never do on our own. So we're very excited to see it come out. It also does a deep dive into the United States, including a span of different political ideologies. So it is well tested in the US. Secondly, is it's actionable. So it's easy to use. It gives us concrete suggestions that we can test out in individual conversations. And even better, it gives us the reasons why we should use these frames and these words. And so it gives us some helpful information behind that. Potential Energy gives us one guide. So this is one guide for everything. And what they have really done is, you know, said, here's the most successful things you can say or the best thing to test. What we know, of course, is that every single conversation is different. So they have given us a guide for what works for the biggest group of people. And this month, we are really testing it and having individual conversations. And so we have a really important role here in this partnership. The feedback that we get, so one thing I don't think Brett showed, but when you log your conversations, you'll be prompted to give feedback. We do want to know what is working and what isn't working as you're having conversations across the country. And then our other partner is Science Moms. That's a sister organization of Potential Energy. Their guidance really is more tailored to having individual conversations. And we're about to walk through both of those things.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Leslie. And let's jump in then. What we're going to do next here is just review the three steps that we've already been highlighting. Repetition is key. And all frame each of these three triads with an opening. And then we'll actually pass it to Leslie to talk about how each of them is represented with the research that both Science Moms and Potential Energy have done as well. And remember, again, outside of these three basic steps, we want you above all in your conversations to be yourself. You don't have to remember every single one of these steps and ways of phrasing things. We want you to feel comfortable in your own skin and remember to listen more than you talk. And also to engage with compassionate curiosity in those conversations, to really view it as a way, a spirit of inquiry, you can find out more and be a detective about who you're talking to. So with that, let's just jump right in, starting with the heart. So we want to connect on a personal level with whomever we're having the conversation with. So start with an opening question that can help you bring your heart and your values and care for this issue openly into whomever you're trying to connect with. One way you can think about doing that, again, based on a lot of the findings that we've seen already from Potential Energy, might be trying out something like the following. I've been worried about how climate will affect our kids. If you don't have kids, you can include future generations or the local economy, you name it. What about you? Having that opening line is a powerful statement from the heart to open that conversation with.
Sure. And so, you know, I learned in preschool that a really good way to share my feelings was to use an I statement. And I think, you know, that really works in the example that Brett shared, where you can say, you know, I'm worried about climate change and I'm worried that it's going to harm our kids. And it is rooted in the heart, but also doesn't blame others. And so it can be a good opener that doesn't put others on the defensive. But you don't really have to start with a feeling of worry. You can also start by feeling happy if you've taken a step recently, you know, to go solar or get a heat pump or have started, you know, dusted off your bike for a few trips that you otherwise would have ridden in a car. Anything that you feel is a personal feeling is a good way to start that conversation. Okay. Potential Energy has a lot to say about this. The first thing that they really emphasize is that across the world, people care about people, not abstract concepts. And they saw that this came up in a number of ways for them. One way was that when they were testing messages, any message that they tested that was paired with a human face did better than messages that were tested without a human face. And so even when we're speaking in conversation and we don't have, you know, faces that we're holding up, if you're conjuring up the image of human faces in someone's mind, it's probably going to be able to resonate better than something that is more abstract. The second thing that Potential Energy emphasizes is that everybody loves somebody or something. and when we frame the issue around leaving a planet for the next generation, that heavily resonates. That's a global sentiment. But of course, we're still going to read our conversation partners for whatever clues they're leaving. And then the last point, and this is what the quote on the slide speaks to, is that we are really loss averse. All humans are loss averse, right? That's the way that we've evolved for whatever reason, is that we acutely feel the loss of things much more than we feel the gain of good things. And so framing things around here's what we'll lose that we love if we don't act resonates much more strongly than here's what we can gain in a bright future if we solve it. And here's a bit of research that potential energy showed. And so the way to read this slide, this shows the relative size of benefits that people experience. Basically, people were asked, what's the best reason that you can think of to solve climate change? And you can see that the largest circle is protecting the planet for future generations. So that resonated 12 times better than increasing job opportunities and economic growth for people. It also resonated 12 times better than reducing inequality and supporting those impacted by climate change. It resonated over twice as much as protecting our health by reducing water, air and water pollution, and just under twice as much as protecting ourselves from extreme weather. Now, what that doesn't, it does not mean that people don't care about those other things. It simply means that that is not the main reason that they see that we should solve climate change. So it's not the most important thing. So it turns out that we're pretty unified in our sense of responsibility to the next generation. And so that's a frame that we can use when we're having these conversations as tests to see if that works in our individual conversations. Sometimes it's easier to start conversations by talking about solutions rather than the problem. Potential energy really suggests that this approach doesn't connect as well as going straight to the heart of the matter. So we're trying to anchor our conversations this month by tackling the problem of climate change head on and seeing whether that helps people connect to the urgency of the problem directly.
Thank you for all of that overview and the rationale kind of behind the guidance with how we've set up this campaign, Leslie. And what we're going to do, actually, I'll make sure that for the other ones, you can see the slide a little bit better here. We're just going to pause to help for each of these three triad areas to ask you a reflection question. And we'll do these in the chat just so that we can read as many of these out loud as possible, is to internalize this and to really think in your own lives, in your own conversations for the month ahead, what do you think is an opening statement or a question that you can ask that feels natural for you to start with, that conversation opener, if you will, that comes from your heart and really helps engage those around you that you're going to be having conversations with. Now, we've clearly highlighted one of those to really be able to connect on a personal level with an opening question and shown the impact, again, that potential energy has had on highlighting the concern about how climate change will impact the future generations that face it. But what is it that works for you? And I'll read these out loud here for about a minute. Michelle writes from Longmont, Colorado, to answer the question I might start with, I feel happy that I finally rolled out my blog to talk about climate change. Excellent work, Michelle. We love hearing that, and that's a great opening. I want to find out more about that. That's a very intriguing question. What else works for people? Feel free to speak from the heart. Think about what you think might be a natural way for you to engage in conversations or that you've already tried out with this campaign for the month ahead. I know that in that feedback form, we've actually already gotten over 50 responses. So people have been out there talking, and we'd love to hear also what's working for you so that the wisdom of everyone attending tonight can be shared. All right, so I'll read a couple more of these and then we'll keep moving on. Andrea shares, I'm concerned about how climate change will affect plants and animals who share this earth with us. Does this also concern you? Excellent. Thank you, Andrea. Carol shares, talking to kids, what is one thing you love to do outside? Oh, that's a great one, Carol. What a great opener. Sam, I worry about climate change due to the impact it will have on my life, but also the lives of the rest of my family, friends, and future generations. What do you think? Ellie asks, as you may know, I volunteer a lot of my time fighting climate change. What are your thoughts about it? I love these. I'll say two more here from Linda and Sandy, move on. When I think about how my daughter won't have the same predictable, safe world that I have had in my life, I wonder what your thoughts are. Very powerful. And Sandy asks the same thing I've been saying for years. I'm concerned about climate change and how it will affect my grandson's future lives. Do you have children, grandchildren you are concerned about? So helpful in connecting. Keep them coming. Thank you so much for sharing, everyone. What we're going to do next is think about how then we can bring in our head, right? So as Dr. Heho highlights, you can keep putting them in the chat here too and resonate and upload with each other here. But with the second step of our conversation triad, Dr. Heho has really invited how we can use our head and bring out concerns and impacts through the facts and data that we know about. And one way of doing this is by highlighting a key element to why we're so concerned about climate change. Again, in our own lives, what is it that makes you wake up and have that concern in a clear and concrete way to help it feel more directly accessible? One impact that we've highlighted here on the handout speaks to the importance of understanding that it isn't just about being concerned that our climate is changing, right? That's one of the oldest tropes out there. Oh, the climate's always been changing, right? That's something that's done throughout human history. But instead, what this fact highlights is it's about the rate of change, the dramatic rate of change that we're witnessing that is making us concerned and is really upheaving all the systems that we're depending on. The world is heating up to 50 times faster than it has at any other time in human history. So there's many other places that we can engage in. We'd love to actually have you start sharing in the chat your ways of bringing in your head. And with that, I'll actually pass it to Leslie to share a little bit more about what Science Moms and Potential Energy say.
Yeah, Science Moms has a really great set of facts about climate change that they have built that really help address common doubts or questions from folks who may not know all that much about, you know, what's happening with climate change or what's causing it. So the statement on the slide about climate change consensus addresses a common misconception. So less than 25% of the people in Potential Energy's test knew that the scientific consensus on climate change is basically unanimous. And so this fact really helps someone who's just coming up to speed. You can see the rest of the facts that Science Moms recommends on their webpage, which is linked to from our hub page on CCL Community. Potential Energy. Potential Energy gives us a lot of advice, and what their guide sets out to do is really to help people create or connect to the urgency of climate change for themselves, as opposed to having someone else tell them that it's really urgent, which really doesn't work as well. So what they have found specifically that using the phrases climate crisis or climate emergency really read as polarized, and they work much better on people who are already alarmed than for people who aren't alarmed. And so, you know, if you tell somebody who's not worried about it that it's a crisis, it doesn't, it's not impactful for them. Additionally, they found that just saying the words climate change and global warming by themselves really don't create alarm, because they sound very non-threatening and also sort of pleasant in some cases. But we can't yell crisis because we just found out that doesn't work. And so what they found what does work is to tie the phrase climate change to a felt consequence within 5 words. And the felt consequence should be near term, local, and understandable, such as warmest winter on record, or days where we can't go outside, or running out of water because of drought. So we're thinking, you know, very simple concepts that are relatable and not kind of complex explanations of what's happening in the ecosystem. The other thing that Potential Energy reminds us is that a lot of the vocabulary that we use when we're discussing climate change is esoteric and not understood easily by people who aren't familiar with the issue. So phrases like greenhouse gases, anthropogenic, you know, 1.5 degrees and 100-year storm are all examples of concepts that really didn't resonate with folks who aren't up to speed on climate. Instead, they recommend using words like overheating, hottest year on record, and pollution that all make better sense to people. So if we're trying to put this together, Science Moms and the advice from Science Moms and Potential Energy, what we have to add is that, you know, too many facts or data points can really overwhelm and or confuse our conversation partners. So we just need to make sure that people we're talking to are following along. So we don't need to explain everything that's happening or articulate the full scope of the problem in order for people to grasp the concept. Our jobs are really to figure out what our conversation partners care about and give them the minimum facts that they need to make the connection. So your conversation partner may ask a question or share a doubt or concern, and you may choose a data point that directly answers that.
I think that's so helpful. And again, a lot of what Leslie's highlighted here is right on that front page of the campaign for our Earth Month conversations. So let's open it up again for another question, just to ask for all of you, now that you're hearing kind of how to bring in your head, what do you like to thoughtfully bring in terms of impacts that you're witnessing or data or facts that you found to be helpful in highlighting your concern about climate change? Feel free to put those in the chat. If it takes a little bit, that's fine too. The great thing about the chat is even if we're going to move on and presenting, you can still read and learn from each other as we move through the webinar. But based on what Leslie shared, we'd love to hear what you found to be helpful in your conversations or what you're looking forward to trying out. Claudia in Minnesota shares, climate change is leading to droughts that are reducing the success of cocoa farming in Africa. This is dramatically raising the cost of chocolate. Very powerful and direct example there. Thank you, Claudia. Ellie shares, where we are here in Washington State, wildfires are a big concern. I know that is something that many of us feel across the country. Thank you for naming that, Ellie. Michelle shares, changes in temperature and precipitation patterns are reducing crop yields, increasing the price of our food. Insurance is becoming more and more expensive in some places. Insurance companies aren't even allowing people to purchase weather-based insurance. I'll share just a couple more of these and we'll keep moving on, but thank you so much for typing, everyone. Sam shares, climate change would increase the heat with which it affects our outdoor-centric jobs quite heavily. Jean shares, we certainly haven't had any major snowstorms in recent years and very little snow at all. Protect our winters, indeed. And Sarah shares this, sometimes I reference recent extreme weather or fire events that have been in the news. For example, did you see how we're having more big rainstorms because of climate change? Not only emphasizing the extreme nature of them, but the frequency change. Thank you, Sarah. So keep those examples coming in the chat. Thank you for applying what we're talking about to your own lives and your own conversations. And let's close again, not on this moment of a cliffhanger, but as Dr. Hayhoe reminds us on how we can bring in our own hands and get busy with putting those solutions to work. So what we want to talk about here as we close the arc of the conversation is knowing that there's something to be done and that our conversational partner can be part of the solution as well, whether it's joining us in CCL or participating beyond that, as Dr. Hayhoe, you've already heard mentioned. So one powerful phrase that you've seen here in that handout that you can weave in that comes directly actually from Potential Energy is, if we act now, we can protect the planet for future generations. So really starting at the very high level before even diving specifically into the policy details that we're so well-versed in. And with why we're doing that and a little bit more, let's talk a little bit more about what Science Moms and Potential Energy have to say.
Sure. So Science Moms guidance is really not to leave people feeling hopeless in this area. Obviously, we're really good at this, right? Well, this is what we do. We're really about moving people from feeling powerless to getting them hooked up with advocacy in their local area. So a lot of we probably have a lot of ideas in this area already about how to do that. Okay, Potential Energy. Remember, they have told us to take the problem head on. And that goes to how they advise us what to do next too. So that to me means that we've got to connect solutions to the problem. Potential Energy recommends the phrase, stop the pollution that is overheating the planet. And there are a few pieces of advice they offer to help us transition from talking about the problem to talking about the solutions. The first thing they bring up is pollution framing. So referring to pollution rather than emissions, because that has more impact. It also allows you to add in a frame like fairness, where polluters shouldn't get to pollute, or a dependency frame. We don't have to be dependent on polluting energy in a way that naturally resonates with people. In contrast, they share that the phrase net zero by 2050 doesn't mean anything to people who aren't already working on climate change. They can't conceive of the time frame, isn't meaningful, and it's confusing. The second is that they recommend that we frame clean energy with the following adjectives: safe, affordable, and healthy, and that we talk about clean energy as an upgrade rather than scarcity or bans. For example, we can upgrade to energy that is safe and clean is a phrase that works well for people. And then lastly, they recommend building on any local pride for progress that has already been made in the community where you live. So folks tend to feel very proud of any new things that have been built or new clean energy that they have. And so that tends to be a really welcome topic of conversation as you move forward into what can you do. Okay. And so, you know, I think, you know, as an organization, we have so many, you know, we have our own policy solutions, but we also have us as an organization of how people can get involved. And so Brett's going to tee up the next exercise, which is how do we, you know, how do we make that transition in this exercise when we're talking to people who are new to the topic?
So the question here for the third part of the triad is, how do you bring in hands with your conversations and make sure to talk about solutions with your conversational partners? What fills your cup when you're having these dialogues? What ways do you bring in your own advocacy with CCL or as a volunteer for groups that you care about? We'd love to hear some examples and have this chance to slow down and apply this advice from Potential Energy, CCL, and Science Moms to your own advocacy. Carol shares this: I share about going to DC to talk with our members of Congress. That's a transformational experience. I love that. Thank you, Carol. We have Emma sharing: we can tell our representatives that climate change matters to us. We can have a big impact by creating policy solutions. Jean shares: we have good ideas for how to address all of this. So now we need to get them going in real solutions. I love that. That's a perfect distillation, Jean. Bob shares: I talk about how much energy buildings use. People usually think only about electric cars. Great. Way to weave in other areas of focus. We got Beth talking about starting by listening to what my conversational partner has to say and reflecting it back to them. That is a wonderful first step. Once somebody feels heard, it's much easier to get them to hear what we have to say. I think you'll see that demonstration in action with a reflective listening that we'll hear from Todd and Tamara in just a little bit. Thank you, Beth. I'll just read two or three more here and then we'll move on. Ellie shares: when we're tabling, we often talk about some of the benefits or incentives for the Inflation Reduction Act and all the money they save, or they can save when they upgrade. You can also highlight the importance of voting for representatives that prioritize climate policy. Thank you, Stuart. And we also have Andrea sharing: my friends and I like discussing the technologies that are available to address the climate change challenges. Excellent. Keep it coming. We are so grateful for everyone sharing those examples. We also want to remind you, in about 5 minutes, we're going to do 10 minutes of Q&A. So if you haven't asked a question yet, I think we're pretty much all caught up except for one of them. But start putting those questions in the Q&A box separate from the chat, and we'll get to those in just a bit. All right, so thanks for playing along at home with us. What we're actually going to do now, after hopefully what was a high-level overview, is put it all together and walk through with these final few review slides what the actual campaign looks like and what you can do to take action again in your own home community. So with that, what I'd like to actually do first and foremost is provide an example of what this might look like. Again, there's no one perfect conversation. As Beth so wonderfully highlighted in the chat, we want you to listen to your conversational partner. Let them be the lead as you do the dance and find out about their interests, drawing out their concerns, their thinking with reflective questioning. But again, these same principles that we've talked about can be used no matter who you're talking with. So what we're going to do is watch a short 2-minute conversation between Todd, who's a CCLer tabling at an outdoor festival this month, with Tamara, someone who's passing by to engage that table. Watch as Todd, as we go through the video, models connecting first with the heart, then the head, and bringing in the hands, and reflect then on how you might respond to each juncture of the conversation if you were Todd. Equally important to Todd's questions is how much space he makes for Tamara to reflect and respond back with her own lived experience. This is where we as CCLers, again, have a real strength by being able to lean into reflective listening and open-ended questions in our discussion to make sure our partner feels listened to and affirmed in that conversation. So without further ado, I will pass it to Todd to take it from here.
Hey there. Hey there. Nice to meet and great to be outside at the big festival today. We're out here with a group having climate conversations with attendees. And if you're free for a moment, I'd love to find out more about how you're feeling about our climate and air pollution.
Hey, thanks. It's nice to meet you too. I mean, I guess I'd say I'm feeling worried about car and bus exhaust because it's just really unhealthy for me and my family.
Yeah, thanks for sharing. I'd love to hear more about your thoughts on that.
Yeah, thanks for asking. I mean, I guess the biggest thing is that we live right by an interstate, so we're constantly having to keep the windows shut and the filters running so that my kids, who are both dealing with asthma, just don't have to deal with the congestion.
Yeah, I hear that. I really value clean air too, and I worry that climate pollution is making things less safe for our kids and grandkids. What are your thoughts on climate change?
I'm a bit worried, but I don't really think there's all that much that I can do to help, honestly.
That makes sense. It's hard to know where to start. One place for me is to pay attention to our changing weather and the impacts it's having. As you think about it, have you seen any climate impacts around here or heard about elsewhere?
Yeah, I have. I've noticed the warmer, longer summers, and actually my brother's farm is in trouble.
Oh no, that's terrible to hear. What's going on with your brother's farm?
Yeah, it's pretty sad, actually. He's been dealing with ongoing water shortages, and his orchard trees aren't able to grow the fruit and the nuts that he depends on for his job.
Yeah, I'm really sorry to hear about that. How incredibly hard. Drought and heat waves get my attention, too. What have you seen the news about climate solutions?
Oh, something about energy credits, but I don't really know what that is. I can't really keep up with it all.
I get that. It can feel like a lot. The volunteer work I do makes me feel hopeful about the future. Would you like to hear about it?
Yeah, sure.
Our elected officials have the keys to climate solutions, but we clearly need them to do more. So I volunteer with Citizens Climate Lobby. We're a nonpartisan, nonprofit organization with over 400 chapters. We're working to make sure that our elected officials know that their constituents want them to take stronger action on climate change. It's actually really fun.
Really? Huh, that's interesting. Sounds interesting. How do I get involved?
All right. Well, that is exactly how it always plays out, isn't it? Thank you all for entertaining a little reader's theater. And what I'd like to do next is just a little review before we open up for Q&A. So again, a reminder that we want you to use our main campaign page, ccclusa.org/conversations. It works again for both logged in users as well as people that have never been a part of CCL before. If they're logged out as a visitor. We want them to click on that log your conversations button and know that if you're also in the action tracker, if you're logging a tabling or a presentation opportunity, we are set up now to record climate conversations. It's one of the prompts there too. But for the sake of ease, know that that homepage, climate conversations, is the most easy and direct way to log those conversations at each of those matters. So again, we're already at 549 as of this webinar, only 3 days in. We also want you to make sure to slow down and at some point this month, reflect on what's working for you. We know that every conversation is different and that webpage that we've highlighted that's shown on the landing screen after logging in action anytime is basically a wonderful way for us to collate and collect what's working well and what can be improved. And here's a little pro tip, we're actually going to be learning from it and sharing our results at the summer conference. So looking forward to that feedback as well. We also want to make sure that everyone is aware of this. So if you want some more support, let's say you had a really hard conversation or you're really just not sure how to begin the art of having a climate conversation, we're offering weekly support climate hours every week for the rest of this month, Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern, starting this next week, so April 10th, 17th, 24th, and May 1st. And you can find out more and RSVP in the chat. I've got a link where you can find that link to the Effective Communications Action Team events calendar. And then lastly, find it from the Action Tracker. And we love showing all the trainings that people are attending. You can just click on Chapter and Volunteer Development. And then from there, there's a drop-down menu that you have the chance to have from trainings populate where you can find each of these. And this one's called CCL's Climate Conversations Campaign. And last and most importantly, keep on talking out there. Congratulations, everyone. You are officially certified as a climate conversationalist as of tonight. We hope that obviously you feel more empowered and equipped to have a great time out there. If you have any questions, you can go to the forums, or we've set up this great email too, conversations@citizensclimate.org. And we'd love to hear your experiences or any questions that you have from that too.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Citizens Climate Lobby's training program. You can tune into more episodes anywhere podcasts are available. Inspired by what you heard today? Join Citizens Climate Lobby to advocate for bipartisan climate solutions. Go to community.citizensclimate.org to find more trainings, resources, your local chapter, national action teams, discussion forums, and more. Be sure to like our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter and Instagram @CitizensClimate. We also invite all of our listeners to subscribe to our YouTube channel for more inspiration.
Like what you hear? Recommend us to your friends and make sure to give us a 5-star rating. It helps us show up on other listeners' feeds. Feel free to pass on any suggestions for future episodes in the comments as well.
And together, we are creating the political will for a livable world.